I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Hello everyone, this is part two of Private Parts Podcast with Max Whitlock. Here we go. It's funny when you lose that naivety, when you gain the experience, that's when you start to fear the failure, because you realize what's possible and what you can do and what you have done. And then you go, well, hang on a second. Oh my God, now I'm scared to not achieve all of that. Whereas before you just had none of that. So you're just like, it doesn't matter.
You just go and you just do. Yeah, and when that changes, that's where it becomes really hard, because that's where I have so much respect now for people that, and athletes that gain a title and retain them, because from my experience, I've learned how hard that is to retain a title. It's not just about the performance, it's about everything that surrounds it. It's about, you know, motivation gets harder and harder as you get older, training gets harder and harder as you get older. Pressure just ramps up even more. Expectancy is just constantly increased. Recovery takes longer. Everything is just so much more challenging the more you progress through sport.
Does that frustrate you?
Not now. I think I've learned to kind of put it in a place where actually I thrive off of the challenge of competing against others that are in their prime. I remember when I was in my prime, and like a prime age for a gymnast is around 22, 23.
That's so wild.
It's a young sport. Yeah. And I think I just felt like invincible during that period. Like I felt like I just go and just go.
Really?
I felt like I remember the Commonwealth Games in 2014, and I competed 5 days in a row, and that's quite a lot for a gymnast.
We
don't really ever really experience that, and I just, no problem with fatigue, no problem with tiredness, so I just go. And I just felt
it's like
I
me
just...
with hangovers. Honestly, back then, I just kept going.
Exactly. But it's just like, and then, yeah, you get to a point, I suppose I got to a point in 2015 where I got glandular fever, hit me like a ton of bricks. And then...
How did you get that? I always hear it's the kissing disease.
I've heard that.
Okay, I'm just saying. That Olympic Village.
Do you know what? What I think it was basically, so when I was young, random story. I don't know if it was this, so people might correct me. But I was taking tablets to help my spots, because I had such bad, I had bad acne when I was young, and I was kind of really self-conscious of them. So I was taking tablets to try and help that. And I was on them for so long. And I heard some people say that it basically, it's not good to be on stuff like
that. Well, I
think
it says you're going to intact your immune system and, exactly. and things like that. Yeah,
I can. So I don't think that helped. Yeah, so then Glasgow fever hit me, and I remember training got so dangerous. Like, because I was in a mindset where I was like, I didn't want to give in to this. Like, just I remember walking into training some days, and I'd start swinging my arms around to warm up, and my arms would weigh a ton, and I just couldn't do anything.
It's exhausting.
Really?
Yeah. I had it severely for like a month, and I had to be put in hospital and on steroids because I couldn't swallow.
That bad?
Because my throat closed up. It was just awful, the whole thing. But I was exhausted.
Mm.
I mean, that's me lying.
From the minute you wake up.
Oh, yeah. And you're a professional athlete.
And I didn't want to give in to it. So I was like,
man, your mindset.
I'm not accepting it. And I wanted to push through. And I pushed through, and I was basically told, like, because I wasn't doing what I was meant to do in training, and my consistency weren't there for obvious reasons, and we didn't know the reason. I was told, like, you're not going to go to this European Championships. And I was like, no, I'm going to make sure I am going to this European Championships. And I was at the British Championships, which was a qualifications process. And I planned on not doing it because I wasn't like kind of ready. I was told this. So I went and bought a competition kit from a stand. And I went in and I done my routine. I made the Europeans because it hit the qualification score.
What?
And then I went to Europeans and it didn't go to plan. So looking back now, I probably should have just sat back and actually took time to actually realize what was up.
But you learned so much from that.
So much. But yeah, then I got tests done and it came back Glasgow fever, which was almost like a massive sense of relief because it was like, okay, I got a reason. Now I need to work out how I get through this and actually then work forwards from it. So, which was hard because 2015, year out from Olympics, the Rio Olympics in 2016, all I wanted to do was just go and be ready. But yeah.
I want to know just two things. Firstly, when you go through that moment, as you said, after Tokyo, when you're feeling completely just burnt out, you're out, you just don't have any motivation. When is the moment when you start to see the light and you start to come out of it? Because I think that's really important. The funny thing is, as you hear this a lot with athletes.
All the time, man.
They go to World Cups or they go to Olympics or they, you know, Tyson Fury's been very open with it. It seems like it's a recurring theme that happens.
Yeah, and I kept hearing it throughout my kind of journey. I kept hearing it and I didn't understand it. Like these Olympians coming back and then struggling to a level where they feel really, really depressed, coming back to home life, they just can't deal with it. And I never understood it. Like I'd come back from London and I'd almost like home. I'm a real home person. So I almost looked forward to coming home. So high of Olympic Games, I'd almost get a similar high. It sounds mad, but I almost get a similar high. Just being at home, doing normal stuff, like even like doing house chores. Like I just loved coming back to normality. And same after Rio, exactly the same. Like I just flowed on through, looking forward to coming back. So I couldn't comprehend it at all. But now I can completely understand and relate because Tokyo was different. And I suppose, are we saying what's helped me kind of get out of that feeling?
When is the moment? Because it does, it happens to so many people. And then there becomes like was there a moment for you when you were suddenly like, okay, I've woken up today and everything doesn't feel as heavy. Or I've woken up today and I've gone, did you suddenly go, I feel like maybe going to the gym today. Was there just a certain moment? Was it your wife who helped you a lot? Because I listened to a podcast, I spoke to a friend of mine who went through a really bad batch of anxiety,
right.
And he had insomnia, all these different things. And he said to me, what he did is that everything became so obsessive. So one night he'd have a good night's sleep, and he ate some chocolate at like 8:30 in the evening. So he was like, "Well, that's it. I'm going to eat chocolate." And I heard on the podcast that your wife took you to have blood tests because you just wanted to figure out what was wrong, and you know, and these things. And so you're trying to find reasons for.
Yeah,
why you're feeling this way, but actually it's most likely down to burnout, anxiety, whatever it is, low mood, things like that.
Yeah. So we was trying to find those reasons. I suppose learning from how when I found out that I had glandular fever, actually the relief I felt, and then I felt like I could move forwards, I was probably searching for that same thing. And I couldn't find it because obviously every blood test came back fine. And it was like, I don't know what to do. And I think I think the first step for me was, and it was so, it's a comment that I used to brush past all the time. And, you know, when people say, like, if you're struggling, that, like, just talk to people.
Mm.
And it's just one of those things that it's such a common thing that people say that I just, like, you don't really think about it too much, brush it off. But I think I never realized actually how powerful that was. And it was a hard thing to do because I'd never really done that and never been open and honest and just chatted to people, even people close to me. And I think that was almost the first step for me actually realizing, yeah, I'm struggling with this a little bit. Mm. And I'm not really sure how to get out of it. So I started talking to my wife and that, and started talking to my family. And that done like wonders. Like,
yeah, it's crazy.
It doesn't solve it, but it was definitely then helped me kind of gradually get to the bit to get me out of that rut. And I think because what it done was I couldn't even, and I suppose those first conversations when I look back now is I couldn't even put it into words how I was feeling because I just couldn't understand it, didn't have any tools to be able to deal with it or anything. So I couldn't, so it took like conversation after conversation throughout me to actually get words out of me really. Mm. And then it becomes a bit more clearer. And I suppose you're not ever going to be able to solve it if you don't know how you're feeling or you can't explain it.
Yeah.
So I think when it becomes more clear in my head, almost began to kind of understand it a little bit more and then try and think of suggestions. So Leah through that whole time was trying to think of ideas, but also at the same time saying, you sure you don't want to go back to gym? And I was like, I didn't even want the conversation. I was adamant, I was done. I almost just tried to bat it away quick. Mm. And then eventually I remember standing on the landing upstairs and I had conversations with my mom and dad and that lot and my family. And my conversation started to turn from all negative towards coming back to gym to then slight positive start creeping in, and I almost got a message really. And then I said to Leah, like, I think I might just pop in the gym a little bit. She obviously was well happy with that. She could tell I was a little bit more upbeat, and yeah, she could see that a smile was on my face. So I think for me, that's why I say gymnastics has just brung this huge kind of sense of purpose for me that I didn't know it was that powerful for what I do.
Oh man, that's amazing. Yeah.
But I think then it's the target. So then I started like setting plans, like back to what I've done since I was 7 years old. I started setting plans. I started, like, why do I want to come back? What's the reasons why I want to come back? What do I want to try and achieve? And have those things that I can literally just grab onto. And then all of a sudden I just felt, gradually over time, started to feel a little bit better. I started to feel a little bit more motivated. I had my targets. And it wasn't even from going into the gym or having a bit more structure. It was actually just in my head, I knew what I wanted to do. Mm. And that for me was the thing that completely ticked those boxes.
If you had to give me a checklist, and I know this might be hard, of what creates a champion or a champion mentality. And I think you're, whatever sport you're in, you can kind of probably see a sort of similar comparison.
Yeah, definitely.
What would you say is on that checklist for someone who's listening to this now and wanting to be in your position and wanting to achieve what you've achieved? What would you say, here's your checklist, this is what I would start doing?
I think going off of my experiences, I think everyone's different, but definitely I think everyone will have similarities. I think first and foremost, you have to be dedicated towards it. Like for me, we sort of talk about doing it from 7 years old, like constant. So you have to give time to it. Everyone talks about, you know, 10,000 hours put into something to become an expert. I think I worked out the other week that I put in well over like kind of 35,000 hours into gym throughout my time because I just spent so long on it. So I think dedication has to be there, else you're never going to achieve anything.
You've done over 35,000 hours.
I think I probably have done well over that, yeah. Because when you think about that, like from 7 years old and from, you know, from a very young age doing 35 hours a week when I got to like mid-teenish.
Yeah.
Like those hours, they do start stacking up, and I'm 30 now. So yeah, I've done it for quite long. So yeah, I've estimated that I've put in, yeah, about that. So I think dedication is key, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I think one really important one is the ability to compete.
What do you mean by that?
So I've seen so many, especially gymnasts, but I've seen so many athletes that they're a champion in training and they win every day in training, but then it comes to competing and it doesn't pull together. So I think the ability to be able to deal with the pressure, deal with actually what you've done throughout a whole build up to then go and put it into into place within the right time, right place, right minute, and just get everything right. I think the ability to be able to do that is such a key ingredient that's really hard to also teach as well.
But that's what is that? Because I remember you said somewhere that before Tokyo, it's the most nervous you've ever been.
Yes.
So how do you then harness? So then you're talking about harnessing those nerves, because that's really tricky, isn't it?
Yeah, really hard. And I'd love to give this one thing to like kind of just be able to do it, but it's really, really hard. I think one thing that I like to do, I suppose, that helps me is I'm really particular with routine. I'm really particular with how I do things, like the way my bag's packed, the way I do everything. So I think for me, when it comes to standing there in that pressure environment, my hands touch upon my horse and I have to go and do my performance. I think for me in my head, I've checked off everything that I possibly can.
Really? So it's that literally that routine, boom, 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 boom.
The mental checklist that I've done, yeah, from the minute I wake up, from weeks and weeks and weeks, like before it. So the preparation is key. Obviously, you have to make slight adjustments and everything, and I'm learning that I have to do that more and more as I'm getting older, because not everything is literally a straight line to where you need to go to. And I feel like the mental checklist between... So for example, I go to a competition and I don't need to stress about, oh, did I remember to pack this? Like, because I know I've done it. Like, there's all everything.
There's no distraction.
I don't need to rummage through my bag. It sounds really, really particular.
No, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So when I open my bag, I know where everything is. So I don't need to try and find this. I know it's there. So everything's so set, so routined. I'm like almost doing things really consciously because they're really particular.
That's really interesting, because they always talk about like Steve Jobs or people like that who wore the same thing every single day, just because it would just take away any distraction that they could just focus on. And I think that's really key, especially in sport. You just don't want to have any distraction. You just know it's there. You don't need to think about whether it's there or not.
Completely. Yeah. Completely. And then in doing so, I've checked off everything. I've worked as hard as I possibly can in that whole build up towards it. I couldn't have done any more. So with that thing checked off, I'm in a position where I can't be any better. Then I basically check off everything. So the routine I do from the minute I wake up to, yeah, I've checked off, I've had breakfast this time, I've got enough time to do that. Everything is so particular. And I suppose it's almost something that's massively helped me. I think massively helped my consistency, but at times it's not. So being that particular, being that routine, being that structured has been something that's got my head, helped me get my head in this place where I'm ready to, like I'm confident within myself that I've done everything I can. I know it's my time to go and compete. But there's definitely been times where it just hasn't worked. When I haven't been able to be adaptable, that if things then don't go to plan, because really? It's not a straight line. Yeah. So then that
throws you off massively.
Completely.
I spoke to a musician called Kian DeCrow who has the same thing. If he goes on stage and everything's not precise, it completely throws him off.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. Has there been a time when that happened?
Yeah. So 2014, again, a fairly inexperienced during this stage. I'd done London 2012 and that lot. But I went to World Championships. It was in Nanning in China. Mm. And have you been to China?
No, I've done Hong Kong, but not China.
Did they have toilets that were just not toilets? They were just holes in the floor.
Yeah. I walked into a toilet once in Hong Kong, and I walked in and there was a guy shitting in the middle of the thing. Yeah, and everyone's just standing around him waiting for their go. Honestly, I was like, sorry. I mean, I was young. I was like 11, and it was awkward.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I've got a bad experience with those toilets, because I think for me it threw me off massively. And that's how ridiculous it sounds now. Yeah, and it sounds ridiculous even myself, but because I was so particular with everything. So what happened was I went to these toilets, saw this hole in the floor that I didn't know what to do with, and yeah, went toilet. Obviously, as you do, pull your trousers down, and I ended up getting wheat all over my trousers. And it threw me off so bad, because my plan was that this was what I was wearing. This is what I was wearing to warm up. God, I was in these trousers. It's like, what do I do?
Yeah.
And such a simple thing like that.
Wow.
And I went to the competition and mucked up completely.
Like, just, and you know in your head it was because of that.
Was 100% it was because of that, because my head was completely thrown. Completely thrown from such a stupid thing.
Wow.
Which taught me so much.
How does that manifest itself into normal life? How? What does your bedroom look like? I reckon I open up your drawer next to it and it's literally, I reckon everything is in position.
No, I wish it was, and I'm trying to get to a position where it was, but it's weird because...
Are your socks colour coordinated?
No, I really wish they were. Like my, I wish my house was literally like everything perfect, but it's not. And I think it's, so I got a little 4-year-old and it's almost impossible to keep it that way. So I've almost learned to be like a bit relaxed with it. And I think my wife would actually love for me to be more like that at home. But for some reason, I'm just not. But when it comes to the gym, it's like, everything's in place.
Yeah, but it's amazing. If you look at all, I think that's the winning mentality. If you talk to many athletes, the famous one recently is in the David Beckham documentary, how...
I need to watch that.
It's so good, just how precise everything is. And
really?
Yeah, I think so. And I think not missing a mark is just knowing that spot is just, that's what creates the sort of winning mentality for sure.
I think it definitely helps if you're able to be slightly adaptable with it, and that's something I've had to learn through that experience. So literally I went to the competition, obviously that was like just before I was about to warm up. I went in, I was thrown completely, mucked up, didn't make any finals. Yeah, I was lucky because I got a second chance from another gymnast pulling out through injury, and then I actually managed it. So then it's another thing, I suppose, isn't it? Because I got another chance, and I remember saying like, I don't want to take it. I don't want to take that opportunity because I didn't deserve it. And I don't want to, it's not my final. So it's for the all-round final.
Wow, you didn't want to take it?
No, because I felt like it wasn't mine. I didn't earn that. And then Scott, my coach, convinced me to say like, no, I can't do it. He's got a bad wrist. He can't actually do it. He managed to convince me round to actually then go, okay, I'll do it. So for those few days in between, I was then thrown again because I was almost relaxed more on what I was eating. I was staying up like later. Like usually it's really structured. I'm in bed by like, at that time I was in bed by 10, and I'd literally somehow have like 11, 12 hours sleep every night. Yeah, mad.
That's amazing.
I can't get that now, but yeah. So then I was thrown again because I was like, well, I can't. I've fully relaxed. I'm not in my routine. I've changed my whole structure and everything. You managed to convince me to do it. And then, yeah, I suppose it's a huge learning curve because I then went and come second to my idol and come second in the world, which was the best result to date at that time. So yeah, it taught me a lot of lessons then moving on from that to have structure, because I do feel like that helps, be really specific and particular with what I do, but actually be able to be a bit flexible if stuff doesn't go exactly good. You get wee on your trousers or something like that.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
When you hold the pommel or something like that, when you first put your hands on it, in a competition, in the Olympics, Is it like sometimes this is a strange reference when you, if you're a golfer, sometimes you just pick up the club and you go, this is going to be a good day. Do you sometimes get that when you walk on, you just, you're, the way you're holding yourself, and it sounds strange, you just feel, no, this is going to be good here.
I think the way warm up goes can be an indication, but also can't be at the same time. I think there's definitely a feeling of, yeah, when you place hands on a pommel horse or whatever you're doing, I think there's definitely a feeling of sometimes you feel a lot more comfortable than others. There's definitely, but it usually happens then when you've started your routine. So it's like when you're into it and you're doing the first couple things, you can usually tell how comfortable you are. So sometimes you just generally feel a little bit erratic, but sometimes you just feel comfortable and it feels just seamless, easy, just going through muscle memory type thing. But you still never know. Like,
you never know, right?
A click of a finger. Like the last World Championships I'd done after having a year and a half off of competing, it was going well. And all of a sudden it just changed.
Really?
So it's so hard. Like, you're talking about something that's just such fine margins that can be the difference between, you get it slightly wrong and it's the difference between gold and no medal.
When you won the floor and you got the gold in the floor and you
in Rio
and completely unexpected, and then it took all the pressure off when you were going to get the gold, you were heading for the gold for the pommel. In your opinion, what is harder, floor or pommel?
God, I don't know. I think most, probably about 90% of gymnasts would say pommel, but I'd say probably floor.
Really?
Yeah. I think I've always taken to pommel from a youngster. I've always trained double the amount on pommel as any other piece of apparatus. And it's a piece where I've just almost just gravitated towards. But yeah, I think it's hard. It's definitely one of those pieces that is really about fine margins when it comes to competitions, because a slight shoulder position off or any position off, it's easy to fall off. So that's why in training, I kind of work on a lot of different techniques to try and manage that and try and make myself as adaptable on a pommel horse as possible. So I'm known for, I remember like 2009, I picked for one of my first kind of GB comps. And there was like coaches that started talking, and it, like the word started getting around of like, why am I in the team? Because they was looking at my training and everything was just scruffy. It looked like I'd never done gym before. But it's actually a way that I train. So I train really, really scruffy, because when you're going for perfect work, actually, if it goes slightly wrong, it's going to turn scruffy. And if you don't train scruffy, you'll never be able to adapt or work through scruffy work.
Wow. So that's a thought through thing that you do?
Almost a natural thing that I've done. So it wasn't even a planned thing. It's not even something that my coach said to do. It's almost just something that I've naturally trained that way.
Wow.
And then now looking back, realizing, oh, I think that was probably quite a beneficial thing to do. So it was almost just, almost just landed and just sat right with me. But yeah, I think, it's just almost been a weird journey where you're just learning on the job. I feel like everybody just does that.
Yeah, completely.
No one knows the right way.
What is the hardest move you can do in gym? What would you say is the one that, if you look at like BMX bikers, right? There's a sudden jump they do, or snowboarders do a sudden thing, or in football you have a sudden move. What is it in gym? Is there one where you're heading towards and you're going, this is going to be full on?
I suppose there's quite a few in my pommel routine, because one of my mindsets that I've always tried to have is have the highest difficulty routine in the world.
Wow.
So if I have that, then I know that I can just focus. So it goes back to focusing on me. If I focus on my job, then I know that I'm going to have the potential to kind of retain titles if I go through a routine. So yeah, there's a few skills in there that harder than others, but I don't know, pommel horse is a tricky one with that. I think it's the other pieces that almost have these wow skills that are just the riskiest things, I suppose, because I feel lucky to be a pommel horse specialist, because it's not the most, you can still get injuries, but it's not the most dangerous piece in the world.
Completely.
It's one of the pieces that you can have a bit more longevity on and keep going. So I'm lucky that it's my specialist one. It's hard to pick up one skill in gymnastics because there's thousands.
I'm just being honest. If you and I hit the trampoline, I think I'd school you.
You might do.
I think I mate, my knee to front flip is unbelievable.
You go from the knee.
Yeah, knee to a double one sometimes. Okay. Yeah, check that out.
We should definitely get that go.
Okay, looking forward to the next Olympics. What are your thoughts on it?
It's coming around.
Mm-hmm. It's not far.
That's definitely in the first four. It's really coming around quick. I think competitions always just come around so fast. Like, you really? Always feel like you just have longer than you do, and then before you know it, it's here.
Yeah.
So at the moment, we started the build up phase. But we got a lot to do before the Olympics. So we got national championships, which are qualification processes. So mm-hmm. every time you go towards Olympic Games, you have the trials. So no one's given a spot. Every sport works in different ways. So the way that we've done is we're lucky we've qualified a team of five spots. Mm-hmm. But there's no names. So then that's basically when the battle starts, is when the trial starts. So then we have to go through these trial processes, and then
but you're pretty confident.
I never like to say I'm in a team. I never have done for my whole career, because you just never know. And okay. I think obviously you'd like to think the previous results give you a bigger advantage.
You've got 14 medals. I think you're in for a shot.
I'd like to think so. Yeah. but again, it's something that I've thoroughly believed in, is that everyone has to do every single trial, and the best people go. Who's the best at that time? And it's always worked that way. It has to. So we'll go through the trial processes. The team will be picked. Sometimes it's so late, but I think it's going to be a little bit earlier this time. Mm-hmm. But I remember London was like a month before.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, really frustrating, I suppose.
That is frustrating.
Yeah. But it's almost is what it is. And I think that comes back to who's ever doing the best at that time will go.
And you have the confidence yourself. You think you can go all the way?
I'd like to. To be honest,
even though you believe that your peak was 7 years ago, whenever it was.
Yeah. I believe that, my peak was definitely 7-8 years ago, wherever that was. But I also look at my work and my performance routines now compared to Tokyo, compared to maybe around Rio time. They're more similar to Rio time than Tokyo. So I look back at my pole routine in Tokyo and I'm like, of course, I'm really happy. Like, I retained the title and I'm massively, massively pleased with it. And like I said, it was a huge relief to make the routine the way I did. But there's so many mistakes in it. I can see that I'm probably being a bit hard on myself. But I think I'm definitely more like the gymnast that I was in Rio, which is a really, really good thing, because so that's what I'll need to get to. So when I went into kind of this year's competitions, I was probably the fittest that I've been in a very long time. And I just need to keep that going. So I wouldn't have come back.
When you take your top off in the mirror, do you look at yourself and go, I look pretty good? You do, don't you?
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do. You do, mate. You get up and look in the mirror and you go, God. We stood side by side in the mirror. It would not be a good sight for me, I don't think.
It doesn't take long, though. Don't take long.
Man, I've been training hard for so long. It's still there. I don't know what the hell's going on. It's like not coming. I don't get it.
How often do you train?
I train like 3-4 times a week. But okay, I think my diet's bad.
Yeah, so I think diet is one of the biggest things. Yeah. So I'm really relaxed with food. So I eat okay majority of the year, but I'm not this athlete that's just so strict with diets. I even hate the word diet, to be honest, because diets just never last. They're just almost short-term things every single time. So I almost just really relax with food, and when I get a bit closer to comps, I'll eat a bit healthier. And then I see that change massively. And my wife sees it change massively, because she sometimes grabs this bottom bulge here and tells me about it, especially as I'm getting older. But I think it goes quick. Like when I'm in the gym, I'm doing what I'm doing. You start to see it. Yeah, I suppose that's a good feeling.
If you gold in this one.
Yeah.
Man.
Would be nice.
What celebration are you going to do if you get it?
Oh, people take the mick out of me because I won gold in the previous Olympics, and my celebration was literally
just you pumping your fist.
It's just like nice.
It's the biggest panic celebration I've ever had.
So
surely, because this is your fourth Olympics, which is pretty unheard of.
People have done it.
But
it's rare. It's not that common, especially in a sport like gym. It's not that common.
I think you got to go big.
On the celebration, I don't even like talking about celebration because I'm not even there yet. But Yeah, I think
you should do like a jumping jack. Or just rip your top off. There you go.
Oh, my God.
Show the world what they want to see.
It would definitely just fail, though, wouldn't it? It just wouldn't rip.
It would. Unless it was Velcro. And you could just Velcro it off.
Or the whole lot.
Just Velcro off when you do it.
No, I wouldn't be coming... When it comes to like that, yeah, I still try not to think about results too much, but it's becoming more increasingly difficult. It does become more increasingly difficult. Because actually results now are a big part of my motivation. So yeah, I think I wouldn't have come back if I didn't have those targets set. And those targets were to retain titles. So I'm excited. I think Paris is coming around so quick. I think coming off the back of Tokyo, whether it was COVID games, if you remember, no audience.
It's just not the same.
So strange. Yeah, so strange. And huge shame. But yeah, being so close to home in Paris, I think it's an opportunity.
And you're ready to like go into it and not have, because you think here, you don't want to go dip into that unmotivated space, that sort of burnout space you were afterwards, because you're now equipped. You understand that if that does happen, there it's okay and you can get out of it.
I'd like to feel like I'm better equipped.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm definitely not going to sit here and say that I've got all the answers and I've got it figured out, because I definitely haven't. I think it's a kind of like a constant learning experience for us all, and me and my coach especially, just kind of work out what's the best way to get the most out of me at the right time. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited and like I said, I've flipped the switch on. Well, I'm this age, it's this much harder, and all this stuff and all these things that bring more challenges into it and make it harder. Mm. Actually, I'm massively thriving off of that, so I can't wait, because I'm excited to try prove people wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think when you don't produce results, or you have time out in a sport, or even when I had Willow, everyone kind of doubts that, oh, well, you better stay at a level. So I think very, very quickly, natural human behavior, you don't do one thing right and it's like, can you still do it? So I think I kind of love the thought of that. So I'm thriving off of that and just thriving off the challenge. So I think it's exciting.
Dude, I think you got it.
Let's hope so. I'm doing my best.
I'm gonna go wild when it happens.
It's nice. I suppose it's nice, because I always think it's my story. Do I always feel like I'm a bit of a boring person?
You're not boring. Are you kidding me? You're the opposite. I could honestly, and I was looking at the time, and I was just like, I don't want to take. I don't know what your time is up today. I could keep going and going.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, what's a saying or phrase that always makes you smile, cheers you up?
I don't know where Willa got it from, but she says before she goes to sleep, she goes, miss you till the morning. So I love that. I'll take that every night. Yeah, she's 4 years old. It's college. We didn't teach her it. I don't know where she got it from.
Oh, man. I used to say to my brother at night, when I used to go to bed because I was scared of the dark, I'll talk to you a lot in the morning. Because I didn't want to say it. That's amazing. What scares you most about yourself?
That's a great question. I think never fully feeling content. Mm. I suppose I just don't know if I'll ever but I don't know if I'll get to that position.
I think a lot of people feel that. There's an amazing movie called Meet Joe Black, and at the end he says, I lived a blessed life, and I can now fully say that I'm content.
Really?
And that's because he feels blessed, because he feels content. And when you get to that moment where you just go, enough is enough, I'm okay, that's a great place to get. But I would say you're also, both of, we're too young for that at the moment, but at some point.
Yeah, that's something. Hopefully I'll get that feeling when I'm older, but yeah.
That's a great answer. When was the last time you cried? And I have said why.
Yeah, maybe when I was going through that period after Tokyo, sat on a sofa feeling like just a waste of space, useless. Mm. I remember getting upset throughout that period. I think that was a tough one to deal with, I suppose.
What's something you can't let go of?
Oh, God.
So these are quite deep.
They are really deep. Seems to be gym at the moment, because I thought I was done and I'm back. So
that's a good one. Yeah. I think that's a good one. I'm with you on that one, 100%. Next one, here we go. What turns you off?
Turns me off in what sense?
Anything. So what turns you off? What don't you like?
When people don't hold the door open for people.
Yeah.
That grates on me.
I'm with you. What turns you on? Winning, getting that gold.
Yeah, go with that. Yeah, you can't
there
you do
go. There you go. What do you most like about yourself?
What do I most like about myself? That I'm family man first. I like that.
That's great. And last one for a bonus, what's your favourite swear word?
Oh my God.
This is going to be the clip.
I don't even think I've ever swore.
Yeah, you don't have to swear. You don't have to swear if you don't want to.
So, I don't like, I'll be honest with you, I don't like the C one.
Yeah, okay, fine. Max, listen, buddy, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate that. I know you're busy and you're training all these different things. And
no, it's good to be here.
Man, it's been amazing. I'm rooting for you all the way. I
Thank
can't
you.
Wait. And
Thank
I know you. The country is as well. Go out there and kick some freaking butt. All right, go and win
it. I appreciate that. Honestly, good to chat. That's why I love podcasts. Just nice, honest conversations. I think it's good.
It's been amazing, man. I really appreciate it. All right, buddy. Listen, everybody. Goodbye. Man, that was amazing.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.